Right. Please share your full name, date, and place of birth, and how long you have lived in the East Central neighborhood.
Ivan Bush. I'm a native of East St. Louis, Illinois. And my birth is 12/31/49.
Fantastic.
And I've been associated with the Central neighborhood since 1978.
What brought you and your family to this neighborhood?
I came here when I was a graduate student out at Eastern, and this seemed to be a good place to be.
What were you studying out at Eastern for your graduate?
Public administration.
Wonderful. What are some of your earliest memories of the East Central neighborhood?
That experience, like I said, started in 1978. I bought my first home in the neighborhood up on 8th Street. And like I say, I reopened the Martin Luther King Center and then just kind of fell in love with the neighborhood and the people.
What have been the important organizations in the neighborhood, such as parks, businesses, or churches?
What have been to me?
Yes, sir.
Of course, the Martin Luther King Center, that gave me my start here in the community. It's also the executive director of the East Central Community Center for about 8.5 years. I worship at Morningstar Baptist Church, which is a part of the neighborhood. I've grown, I get my hair cut in the neighborhood. I've grown, have lots of friends in the neighborhood.
What role have some of those organizations or places played in the life of the community?
I think they've played a tremendous role. East Central neighborhood is a very diverse neighborhood. At one time, the East Central neighborhood was the most diverse in the city. And I think the richness of that diversity has, really strengthened the neighborhood.
Who have been important leaders in the East Central community during your time here?
Certainly the League of Women for Community Action. They were, in my mind, the forces behind getting a community center built, the forces behind getting a daycare center built, in the neighborhood. I think you have to include the Presbyterian Church, especially First Pres. I mean, they were instrumental in the creation of the Martin Luther King Center, and of course the housing project, up on the hill there, that was and still is, to my knowledge, their baby. And I think, of course, the churches in the neighborhood have been very instrumental. I look at people like Reverend C.E. Hamp, who was a minister here. Reverend Hamp, for over 30 years, had a youth summer camp where he would literally take hundreds of disadvantaged kids out for a week to 2 week summer camp experience out in Liberty Lake. I think about him. I think about Reverend James Sims. Reverend Sims he and Mrs. Sims were, civil rights advocates that advocated for, poor and disadvantaged folks. I think about Reverend Happy Watkins. I think about the AME Church, and Calvary Baptist Church. Those are, on the African American side, those are institutions, strong institutions. Calvary Baptist is the oldest primarily African American church in the Northwest. And Calvary, that was the church that Calvary was co-founded by Mrs. Eleanor Chase's dad. And then you have, you know, of course, Bethel was just a few months behind Calvary. So, you know, you're talking about institutions that have over 100-year history in Spokane.
How has the neighborhood changed over your time here?
It's economically poor. I think that it has been basically a forgotten part of the city. I think that it doesn't feel as cohesive as it once was.
Can you describe the neighborhood before the construction of the I-90 freeway?
I can tell you what I've heard and what I've read, because that was before my time. I think that the freeway divided the neighborhood. See, there are some natural dividers in the neighborhood, i.e. above the bluff, below the bluff. And there are some physical or man-made things here, i.e. the freeway. You know, the freeway divided below the bluff. And, you know, I don't know that the neighborhood completely rebounded from that. You know, so you have above the bluff, below the bluff. You have the south side of the freeway and the north side of the freeway. So, you know, those things kind of divided the neighborhood. And when you have a neighborhood that's divided, you know, I think that can have an impact on that cohesion.
What sort of discussions have you had about the I-90 freeway, if any?
You know, here lately, of course, you know, the north-south freeway has come into the picture and has pretty much dominated, if you will, the conversations. You know, you look along the freeway, you know, there were once hundreds of houses. Now all of that is gone. You know, people have been displaced. And again, that's another blow in my mind, you know, to the neighborhood as to how do we all come together and how do we stick together? How do we feel each other, if you will? And then they're talking about, you know, of course, the tying in the north-south freeway into I-90 and then widening the freeway going east and west, you know. And a lot of folks have been displaced.
How has life changed in the community since the freeway was built?
Caused the neighborhood to be more drive-by, if you will. You know, people just basically pass through. You know, I think that has had an impact, i.e. on the Sprague Business District. Because, you know, you don't have to really drive through Sprague unless you're doing some local traveling or what have you. So that has had an impact on that, you know. And in the, you know, core areas, like, again, the north and south of the freeway, it's just created, in my mind, a mental and a physical division, you know, in the neighborhood.
Have there been any positive impacts of having the I-90 freeway built here?
Not a lot that I can see. I think overall, you know, for travel, getting folks through, it's been positive. But, you know, if you live right in the neighborhood, I don't see any big positive about having a freeway run right through your neighborhood.
What makes this neighborhood a good place to live?
I think it's history, cost of housing, its location to resources, its people, you know, and you pretty much have to want to be in the neighborhood. And that's a good thing when you have a neighborhood that people want to be in. And I think that that's those are things that have been good. You know, cost of housing is what made me buy my first home, and it helped me to decide to buy it. You know, it's not that high crime part of the city. It's not that poor part of the city. You know, it's a difference between being poor and broke. You know, being broke can be a temporary thing. Yeah, we got folks who are broke here. But, you know, they're rich in so many other ways. You know, so I think transportation, public transportation, is a plus in this neighborhood. You know, you can pretty much catch a bus on, you know, any corner and get all over the city.